often people overlook the purpose and value bit. You don't realize that actually value alignment in your work is so important to your, so it's so important to align it to your personal values.
Hello, yes people, and welcome to another
mini,
a mini episode, otherwise known as a yesticle, of the Yes Girls. These mini episodes allow us to go a bit off script, go out of the box, have a bit of fun with the format and with our guests. So these seasons, these yesticles usually come in between seasons, after, so this one comes after season 7 and before season 8. So we just wrapped up an amazing season. And we also sometimes get to see something that our listeners or other experts have said yes to.
Yeah. And this episode will go a little off script to allow us, the Yes people, to let loose and just explore a bit more of what we're talking about. So let's get right into this episode, which we are calling Entrepreneurship
Plus
Co-working Space. Plus a Co-working Space. I'm Akumu.
I'm Claire.
And we are
the Yes Girls
and Nyambura.
Yay!
Yeah.
In our very different, very beautiful studio today, we have Nyambura. Now, Nyambura, first, can you just tell us where we are?
Sure. Hi, thanks for having me. We are at Ikigai's fifth location, Ikigai Brookside, and we're in Westlands. It's a large location, 20,000 square feet. We're currently sitting in the what we call communal area. It's like a lounge space for our members.
Beautiful.
And this is the fifth location for Ikigai. We've got four others. The two others are in a commercial building similar to this. And then we've got two others that are in expansive, beautiful, biophilic gardens.
Yet to visit those ones.
Soon. And just for the record, we kicked everyone out on a Saturday. So if small businesses across Nairobi crumble today, it's because of us, right? Yeah.
Talk to the Yes Girls.
Blame us. And Nyambura, what is your connection to this space that we find ourselves in?
Yeah. Mm. I could give you two answers. I could tell you about my biophilic, psychological, functional connection to the space. I think you're asking generally what my connection is, so I'll answer that question first. I'm the CEO and co-founder of Ikigai. I founded the business 8 years ago with my sister, Washuka, who currently lives out in Nanyuki, and it's been a wild and wonderful journey to get here. So yeah, I think every space for us has such deep connection. Connection to space for us is profound and it's very multifaceted. So when I talk about a biophilic connection, you know, as humans, we're so innately drawn to plants and living systems, and just the mere sight of a plant itself can reduce your cortisol levels. So biophilia is something that we try to connect to very much. So I have a very strong biophilic connection to this space. Also psychological connection, like spaces are so emotional for all of us, and they really, they're the context for all the interactions that we have in life, which is really interesting. And I think my first connection to this space was light. There was just so much light pouring in. And then, of course, functional connection. We try to make our spaces as usable and productive as possible. So we look at all the practical aspects. So a very deep connection to all the spaces that we have.
Nice. Cool.
Google biophilic, please.
Yeah.
I think I figured it out.
Green.
New one for you.
Usually it's Akumu learning the new words on our episode because I deliberately use words that she doesn't know.
Yeah.
So this is me learning a new word live on an episode.
The more you talked about it, the more I figured it out.
Yeah, we now know what it means, but we'll still Google it.
We'll still Google it after this.
So then we can use it and impress people.
Okay. So now that we've got that out of the way, let's do a proper intro. So Nyambura Gichohi is a Kenyan entrepreneur whose love for bringing people together led her and her sister to create one of the country's most well-respected and popular collections of co-working spaces called Ikigai. Nyambura has an MBA in business, might as well have a PhD in motherhood. She's pregnant with her second child. And an eye for design, she definitely has that. Evident in the spaces, as you can see, that she has designed with her sister. So Nyambura, what else have we missed?
You said PhD in motherhood. Yes. I would say learning on the job, for sure. I do not have a PhD in that. I'm learning every day. I think actually now motherhood is the biggest part of my life. It feels so important and such a big part of my identity. It's interesting to be an entrepreneur, and also I was an entrepreneur and then I became a mother, and learning so much from my daughter actually has been really interesting. Wow. I've learned about patience. I've learned about curiosity and wonder that kids have. She's taught me how to be silly and more playful and to listen better. And I think it's interesting that I'm learning as much from her as she's learning from me. And some of those things that I'm learning, I'm able to implement at work as an entrepreneur.
Wow.
And yeah, I'm sort of on this journey of understanding that we don't own our children. We're really guides for them, to provide support and provide wisdom to allow them on their own unique path. And I think as a parent, it's really hard not to want to control your kids. So I've gone from, starting a business, and, you know, most things in my life were quite controlled and structured. I was going to do an MBA and then I was going to get a job and, you know, very structured. And I think, having a kid has made me even look at entrepreneurship very differently, and creating space and thinking about, who I am as a human being. So I think that's what's really happening for me right now, balancing this identity. I think a few years ago, I'd see people and they'd be like, oh, yeah, you're ikigai, right? And I'm like, yeah, I'm ikigai. And now when people say it, I'm like, oh, okay, yes, like work is this central part of my life, but motherhood has become very central as well. And finding a balance between the two and figuring out who I am and my true authentic self is sort of the journey that I'm on right now.
Interesting.
Yeah. And I guess one of those is more an outward projected. People see the ikigai, they don't see the mother so much when you're here, right? Yeah. When you're in the workplace. Yeah. But it influences your actions and your decisions so much.
Yeah, absolutely. I think even now, being very visibly pregnant with the second one, people do start to see the motherhood.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also been, really, really interesting.
Mm. And they treat you well. Like the most of it. For a few short months.
Trying to go to government offices now because they treat you very well.
Actually, if anyone watching has paperwork that needs filing,
I'm happy to do it.
Get
I'm
pregnant.
No, send me. She'll go to the front of the queue.
Maybe it's helping business move faster.
Mm.
I think so.
So we'd love to know first, and you touched on this slightly, what's so important about a space? So many of us, I speak for ourselves maybe, we've worked from our living rooms, from coffee shops, from our beds, our sofas, you know, legs up against the wall, stupid positions, bad places. And you talked about the importance of a space. Maybe just tell us a bit more how this connection between working and a space is so important.
Yeah, such a wonderful question. And by the way, I sometimes work from bed and from cafes. And I think in this remote world, people can more than ever before work from anywhere. So I don't even know if I consider anything like a bad space to work, right? It depends on your mood. It depends on the task you're doing. It depends on whether you need to collaborate or whether you need to focus. But I think space is so important because we spend so much time at work. We spend such a big part of our existence at work.
Mm-hmm.
If you even just think about, 2,000 plus hours you're at work, and then if you even just shorten it and think about your like working years, let's just say even like between 22 and 65, you're spending a third of your life in the workplace. That is so much time. So if you think about that, and then you also think about how humans crave connection with other people more than anything, I think when you bring those two things together, you realize how important it is. It's a space that you're spending a third of your life in, and then humans are craving connection. And there's a really interesting Harvard study. It's been running for like 85 years. And you know, now people are always talking about longevity and how do we live long. And we all know you have to exercise, you have to sleep well. They call it sleep hygiene now. You've got to eat well. But the one thing the Harvard study found, that actually to have a long and happy life, one of the most important predictors is positive relationships with other people. So when we think about space, it's so important because space is the context for the interactions that humans are having every day, right? And we want people to come into an ikigai. We want them to see the plants. We want them to feel comfortable. We want them to be relaxed. We want them to be able to be creative and productive and also interact with other people. So when we're thinking about space, we want our members and guests and individuals to come into a space and feel relaxed, feel connected to the space. We want them to lower their boundaries. We want them to feel open so that they can be their true, authentic selves at work. We want them to feel like it's not quite their home, right? But they're comfortable, so it feels like home. But it's also not quite their office, because I think the office can be seen as something quite sterile. So that little middle part in between. So you're spending most of your time at work. It means that the context for the interactions that you're having at work really, really is so important. And for us, I think with my sister and I starting this space, it's also our way of serving. It's a way of service as well. You know, I remember when we opened our General Mavenga location and somebody walked through the gate, and that was a 2-acre garden, huge trees, like people are working under the jacarandas. And they said, you know, every time I come here, I just feel calmer. I feel more creative. I feel like I can focus. And I think that's when I hear feedback like that, it really feels like that is what we are after. So yeah, in this space, I think we really want to foster meaningful human connections, so that where people are spending a third of their life is somewhere that they're feeling alive and creative and authentic.
Mm-hmm. Nice. It's one of those things you don't realize until you experience it. If you're used to working in an uncomfortable space that's uninspiring, the moment you step into, whether it's a coffee shop or a new house or a space like this, you really feel that difference. And when you think, even now when I think, I'm very lucky to work in an office that makes me feel comfortable and productive. But when you're not there, and also like you mentioned, a co-working space, the idea is you're going to be around other people.
Right? So, and actually when we're designing, we think so much about architecting interaction, because as you walk into a space, so yes, you can work at a cafe, you're probably not really talking to anybody else. If you're at home in your bed, you're probably not talking to anyone else. But when you come into a space, I think we are thinking about, as we're building, where are all the organic moments of collision going to happen between different people? And so you need to think about, you know, should the table be rectangular or should it be circular? Should it be placed here or should it be placed there? Wow. Where should the water cooler be? You know, how dim should the lights be? How much light is coming in and air is coming in? And it's really interesting, because this concept of architecting interaction is by a lady called Stephanie Akawai. And
in Japanese?
Yes, I think she's half Japanese actually. And she talks so much about also building spaces that are incomplete and they're imperfect and they're impermanent. And that's also the philosophy that we really take when we're building our spaces, because we want people to come in, and it's important for us to watch how people are using the spaces so that we're able to foster those interactions better, to foster more impactful interactions, more meaningful interactions. So our spaces are like, yes, Brookside is, it's done, but our spaces are never really done.
So you edit over time.
We do. We're always editing.
Nice.
Yeah.
And talking of longevity, we are dying to know. Mm-hmm. I hope you got that. I really wanted to do that.
Leave
we are dying to know. What does ikigai mean?
Yeah.
It's a nice segue.
It's a Japanese word. People often confuse it for Kenyan words, which is also a nice coincidence. It means your reason for living. Why do you wake up in the morning? Why are you on this planet? What is your purpose? And when you find something that you love doing, you're also good at it, you can be paid for it, and it also benefits society. When you find something that all four of those things culminates in, that is your ikigai. It sometimes when you describe it, it sounds like a destination, like let me find that one thing that I'm good at, I love doing, I can be paid for, it benefits society, but it's more about the process of getting there. It's more about the journey. And for me at the moment, I would say creating ikigai spaces is my ikigai, but it changes over time, right? Because as human beings, we are evolving so much. We're changing all the time based on what's happening in our environment, in our lives. So right now, this is my ikigai. I'm curious what you guys would say your ikigai is, but it's who knows what my ikigai will be in a few years. So the whole idea of calling ikigai was we wanted businesses to be able to come into a space where you feel good, where you can connect, where you can be productive, and, you know, let us focus on all the headaches. Internet is down, power is down, there's no water, all of those headaches that businesses have to focus on, so that the business itself can really focus on its core. But also not just businesses, like individuals come into the space that are not entrepreneurs, and allowing them to come into a space where they're feeling calm and connected and have a very strong sense of belonging is very important in also supporting them to find their ikigai.
Did you read the book?
Or how I have did you, read the book.
When did that happen?
After.
Oh, really?
Actually after. So somebody asked me what my ikigai was and I was like, what? What is this word? And they explained it and I thought, oh man, like that is... Isn't everybody after that and trying to figure out what it is? And so then we created the company and then I read the book, funnily enough.
Oh, but you knew about the concept before?
Yes, before. When the person asked me, probably the same year, I think when we were looking for a name and then the person asked me and I thought, yep, this...
Perfect fit.
This is the name.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, there's a book. Okay. I haven't read the book as well, but
interesting book.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to be using that word now.
Ikigai.
I've learned two
What's
new
your
words.
Ikigai.
Today. I have my ikigai, I think, engraved on a piece of wood in my dining room.
Yeah.
I did some coaching and but that was just strictly our purpose.
Yeah.
So I have mine on. Yeah.
Funny enough, I've just found my ikigai.
Mm.
Yeah. Because I'm finally doing. Now started working on my business is something I really want to do, and it's purpose, I'm being paid for it, it's beautiful. So yes, work-wise, I found my ikigai.
Yeah. All right, so now we need to get into our mini role play, because this season and even this yesticle is all about our expert sending us a mini challenge in the studio, or rather in our ikigai. Maybe this challenge at ikigai will help us find
our ikigai.
Or find our ikigai. So tell us what our challenge is.
Yeah.
Please be nice.
I will do my best. I'll give you a high score, don't worry. So we want to open our 6th ikigai location next year. And you've both joined the ikigai team. And Akumo wants the 6th space to be a commercial location, and you would like it to be one of our garden locations.
Interesting.
So I'd love you to debate why should the 6th one be a commercial location and why should the 6th one be a garden location, and then you can add in some of the wild ideas that you would include in any of these spaces.
I hope you'll add us as in the credits if you take the ideas.
Yeah, I see. I'm just trying to get ideas.
we'll send you our bill afterwards for the creative co-creation. And just for the record, commercial mm-hmm. space, you mean like in a shopping mall or like an office building? Mm-hmm. Like where we are here, there's Brookside location, there's offices on other floors, mm-hmm. there's a car park you enter, whereas the General Mathenge one, like you say, it's like a 2-acre big house with a big garden.
Yes, type exactly. Space. Old house, big garden, mm-hmm. lots of trees.
Okay.
And what out of the five, there are five now?
Yes.
How many are garden? How many? You said two are garden.
Two garden and three commercial.
Commercial. Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's a good start.
So I've already won this debate. And for the record, we have not prepped this. We've just found out the challenge. Yeah. And how long do we have? Like five minutes?
5, 10.
Okay.
Five. Okay. So there's two.
There's two garden, three commercial. I mean, we're all about symmetry. If we already have three commercial spaces,
too easy.
We need one extra garden space. Done. Yeah,
too easy.
Drop the mic.
No.
But that is genuinely a reason because now, I mean, the commercial spaces generally have more desk space. Right? Because obviously you can have big gardens, but you can't have so many permanent desks or offices in those, right? In the green spaces.
No looking at her for
I'm just looking approval. For validation.
No validation.
But in my design thinking. Yeah.
So you want the garden.
So we need more garden spaces because uh-huh. we need to offer our customers the choice. Our customers, no, they're not customers. They are our members. We want to offer our members the choice of garden or commercial space. And right now, the garden spaces are much more limited.
I have a question. So who is more likely to go to the garden space? Someone who wants... No, I think there's a difference. People who want quiet would want a building more.
Not necessarily. Because the idea of the garden space is you get that zen space out in nature. I mean, the commercial spaces like here, we obviously have lots of greenery around. Mm-hmm. But in the garden spaces, you can be surrounded by greenery. And then you have the choice of having your indoor space. And then you can just take a walk in the garden. And let's face it, if you want to take a walk from here, you can't necessarily... I mean, you can walk around the space. There's the balcony area, which is beautiful. But the advantage of the green space, the garden spaces, is you can actually go for literally a walk around the garden. So for those who are more into nature... Yeah, nature, outdoors, and especially those who maybe live in more cramped spaces, smaller places, and don't have a garden in the house, that would be really crucial for them.
Because now I live in a non-garden place and I'm not interested in garden.
Okay. Yet.
So I feel like even if you have a building, as long as there are plants all over, it would still work. So I think the question would be, one makes more money?
That's a good point. I mean, we just opened this space, right, in July.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we're almost full, I think, but we still have some, right, and there's obviously some churn. Some people might leave or travel, so we could have space for new members here. So they still have the choice of here. Mm-hmm. But then in the garden space then, that will offer, you know, our other garden spaces were opened a little while ago. And I think also that launch creates that buzz and puts us back kind of top of mind when we're opening.
But I have another point. Space like this is more likely to get event money in.
I would disagree. Make more money. You know, we do quite a few events. I'm totally making this up here. I don't know. I have been at events in the Ikigai garden.
Which kind of event?
Yes. Garden event. Networking event, industry events. I've been at the Ikigai garden locations.
But this one would attract a more wider variety of events.
I'm not sure. I mean, you've got more. No, I think there's, I don't think that that's an argument because the garden locations offer, I mean, they've still got a good floor space and then you've got the garden areas to do events.
But they're not big enough for seminar. Seminars, workshops, this would work better. And that's where the money is. So,
Do we do money-wise? Many big seminars and workshops?
Ikigai is about purpose and money and being paid well for it. I think I'm still for the indoor.
Because I mean, there will be indoor space. The nice thing is the garden space has... I love all of our spaces, right? Mm. I'm not saying I don't like... It's like saying favorites. I don't like one of my children.
You hate one of your children, I think.
But for example, I live in an apartment without even a balcony. Uh-huh. So if I were personally choosing a space to work in, I would want... Well, we are the two different clients opposite, that we would have, right? I would want the garden space. You would want the commercial space. I think the key thing, if we're doing the garden space, what I would say as a compromise is we need to make sure that we are close enough to key resources, like coffee. You know, we'll have a coffee shop, of course, inside, but making sure we are near to, you know, other shops, other offices, so we're not so far removed that you feel like you're away from where other workspaces, contacts, meetings are, right? That's a compromise that I'm happy to make.
Yeah, but I just feel like since we already have, I think it's way harder to find land for the third one, for outdoors. So
this I already is have way a space easier. In mind.
Really?
Yes.
You're going to handle
the I'll lands. Handle it all.
The lands.
No problem.
The lands ministry.
Yes, yes. I will get all the permits. I've found the space. It's just down the road. I've identified it. It's beautiful. And in terms of many. Creative ideas, right? Mm-hmm. So what I'm picturing is... Uh-huh. We can have those little hanging nests for people to work in. It's a big enough garden space. Uh-huh. So you can have those little hanging nests where it's like cushion, like kind of cushions that you sit on and they're hanging in like a, you know, they've got them at the coast. Have you seen them?
Ah, the, right? Wait, how high? Oh.
Not high, okay. Not that you could injure yourself.
It's like the short thing that you can turn with.
Yeah, but you can do giant ones. You can they're kind of like pods. You can have single pods to work in, and they still have a little canopy, you know, in case it starts raining, so they're not going to get damaged. And then you can even have group ones. Well, group ones, you could sit like 3-4 people and kind of have a little meeting pod, but you're still outdoors, and you've got that relaxed vibe. It's kind of low cushion areas.
Then now I think we can compromise then. Mm-hmm. What if we don't find like just an standalone house? What if we find a building that outside is open so that we have both? It's like a outside, it's like a, what are they called, the building, and the other one is called what, the garden space. Uh-huh. You can have a garden building space.
I mean, if you can find a
building like that,
maybe we do that for space number 7.
No,
because we're going to be opening
6 is good, hopefully. Because it's a merger of the two. I think if we find that to be beautiful, because this is Pinterest now. There's an idea I saw on Pinterest where between this and the second floor, it's just a mesh.
Uh-huh.
People can sit on the mesh.
And they can see down.
That's where buildings get interesting.
I like that. Okay.
You can work a lot with things like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or glass floors.
No.
It's the same thing.
No. That
a mesh and
up.
A glass floor are the same thing. No.
No, very different, because you're not walking on mesh.
You're sitting on mesh. Yeah. So that's your problem.
No, sitting on mesh is fine, but walking on glass, no. No, I really
imagine
like that idea.
You do a trampoline.
I wonder how we could build that into a garden as well.
Yeah, on a trampoline, but now you have a garden outside. So you make everyone happy. Garden plus indoors.
Could also have some little tree houses.
Why not?
Yeah.
So we need to find a building that's a big space. The problem is buildings don't have gardens.
Exactly. That's the thing. And then it's going to be quite separate from the main space, and it's on the ground floor. And I don't like the idea of ground floor, because often it's not so light. So I'm going to veto a ground floor idea.
No, it can be second floor. Remember the mesh? Second. Uh-huh. And third and first. Yeah. And ground.
Okay. How about we see what the boss says?
Okay.
Well, that's really interesting to hear two people like debated. Like, very interesting. You actually touched on some really important points. Finding garden locations, like you said, is so hard because they have to have a big enough garden. It's got to be, we often like to pick them where the garden's on the quiet side. It has to have enough parking. The gardens are often not where public transport is, so they're quite tough to find. So I thought that was a really, really good point. The money, of course, is also really interesting, although, so the commercial ones do have a higher cash flow coming in, because as you said that they're bigger, right? There's just more like space, because normally when you find a house, you're quite confined to the house itself. The walls are the walls, and here you get to choose where the walls are, so you can we could have taken one half of the space, we took both, so there is more flexibility in terms of how you design. So I thought that was also a very, very good point. I love the idea of the net.
I'll share with you Pinterest board.
Yes.
There's a Pinterest board for that.
And actually, because we have a dam at one of our locations, it could be, I don't know if you, like in Watamu, there's that restaurant that has these nets that are on the water. Is it Lichthaus or something like that?
Wow. So and they you have can these, sit there.
Yeah, you sit. So you're, the net is above the water. Mm-hmm. So that I thought that was a really nice idea. And the tree houses was also very... You both did very well. Is it going to be lame to give you the same score? I think you guys did like a 7 out of 10. Yes. Yeah, you did really well.
So we are. Which one wins? The mix, right?
I don't know if it's possible to find a mix of space.
Maybe where you guys should build.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Future plans. Yeah. There were two things maybe I was waiting to hear, like the wellness aspect, especially gardens. We're always thinking about 8 dimensions of wellness at Ikigai. How do we allow every person to have the opportunity to... interact with the form of wellness that they want, whether it's spiritual or emotional or physical. So the wellness aspect's always very important for us when we're looking at spaces. And sustainability as well is also really important. So maybe those 2 points is where you lost you lost the 3 points.
Yeah.
Pretty good though.
So is there also like, do you also consider like people who work in silence, people who, she's an extrovert, so you saw the difference with our conversation. So introverts, extroverts, is there when you are thinking of spacing, meeting people, do you think of that?
We do. It's such a nice question, because I think it's great that we have both products, because then you can go to where you feel more suited. And actually, even when you're looking at both garden locations, they're very different. Like every garden location is really, really different. And how we try to overcome that is, you'll notice in these spaces, there's so many different environments within one space. There's like a standing desk, there's a high counter, there are couches, there's floor seating, there's meeting rooms. So we know that people are, you know, going through their day, and maybe in the morning you have a meeting.
Yeah.
So it's a certain type of task you're doing. So we try to provide different diverse spaces for work based on task, based on mood, you know, based on so many different things. So yeah, based on whether you're an extrovert or an introvert. I think the garden somehow end up being quieter, because you can go into like a little corner of the garden. And often the gardens we pick, not that they're, I mean, Lower Kabete is, you know, little, it's 5 acres. So there's just so much space you can find. Wow. That's like very, very quiet. So
interesting, because in my head I thought garden would be louder.
No, somehow. And interestingly enough, like a space like this, I mean, you've obviously dampened the like the reverb, because even now we're recording here, it doesn't feel like we're in a big space. But with a garden, you've got much like the natural, those soft surfaces absorb noise more, right? And you're not by a busy road, so actually if anything it might be noisier in a space like this, which is enclosed and high ceilings, right, with fewer soft finishings than a garden with grass and trees and leaves.
I mean, it's also interesting how, I guess I was saying before, how we also look at our members and how they use the spaces. Sometimes it's member driven. So you'll find that one location, it's like everybody's got their headphones on, and it just, the culture of the space develops as, this room somehow ended up being very quiet. And then you'll go to another garden location and everyone's on like Teams calls without headphones, and you're like, oh, that's so interesting.
And so that's, it's the people who make it what it is.
Yeah, I mean, so we try, because our job can be hard in terms of there's such a variety of people that can come to your space. Somebody's saying, I need absolute quiet. Somebody wants to like be chatting with their team. Mm. So that balance is difficult, but there are often spaces where we sort of watch and allow them to develop as people want.
And you mentioned that you can make changes as you go, right? If you see people actually using this space in a different way to what it was intended for, then great, right? Yeah. You can evolve as that happens.
Yeah. And, but you have to kill your babies. Do you feel bad sometimes?
It's not killing.
Like, oh, maybe like you have an amazing design and then now you realize people don't like it. What? Yeah. How does that feel?
So I guess it's a good question. The changes we make are never drastic. So it's almost like you... And the good example is with the houses. You build them to, let's say, 80%. So they're done, they're usable. And in the architecting interaction book, she says you don't put any paths down, right? You put no paths down. And you just watch where the grass gets trodden down and where that brown soil ends up. And then that's where you lay the path. So there's things like that where we're waiting to see how they're used. But I think if somebody... you know, said that this whole section couldn't work. I mean, we wouldn't bang it all down, but we do try to build in a modular way where we're like, okay, this is not really being used as a private office. Maybe it would be better suited for a meeting room or a nap pod or a wellness room. So we do make some of those shifts within the confines of some of the structures that are there. So we're not always a construction site.
Nice. Well, I'm happy with 7 out of 10, considering I've never thought about how to design a co-working space.
Right?
Yeah. But it's given me such a new appreciation of the spaces. Like, I've worked in a few different co-working spaces. I've worked from an Ikigai before. Mm. I worked from one in France and others here in
the
Nairobi.
The ones in Kenya, and you just see. Yeah.
They're very different.
Tell, yeah.
Yeah. And you can tell when it's been really well thought out and it's not just a business.
Yeah.
All right, we have some more questions for you, but we can take a short break. Okay, so now we've got a tiny taste of what it takes to get into your space. I mean, not this physical space, although actually maybe you can tell us, what does it take to get into an Ikigai membership, monthly, daily?
Yeah, sure. So we have them all. We've become even more flexible, of course, since COVID. So we have day passes, meaning you can come at any time and drop in for the day. You can buy a couple of day passes, which allows you to use them over a quarter, over 90 days. So you can use it over a month. If you finish them, you can buy more. You can use it over the quarter. We've got full memberships, which give you full access 24/7 over a month. And then we've also got private office memberships where your company is actually based in a secure, lockable office within the space. So that's one way of interacting with us. I think that there's so many others. We've got lots of meeting spaces and you don't have to be a member to use our meeting spaces. We have beautiful outdoor, fully equipped conference rooms with TVs and video conferencing, and your out somewhere different. So, you know, even companies and people that have their own offices that maybe just want a break from that environment can come and have a meeting. We have event space as well. So, yeah, of course, garden events, very different from commercial events like you two were debating about before. So you can come and host an event as a member, as a non-member. We also organize our own events. So you can actually come and just attend an event. We had a wonderful event last week with we have storytelling events with two women telling their stories, and like not just work, like who are you, tell us about what you what you identify with, what your purpose is, how you got where you're going. So there's very many different ways to come in and interact with us.
I was pleased my colleagues came here for a one-day retreat the other week. I didn't say anything. I was just very happy that they...
Good. This one, space.
Yeah, yeah. Nice. Yeah, one of the outdoor spaces here.
The outdoor ones, okay.
Yeah. Nice. All right.
So did you always picture yourself as an entrepreneur? And if you did, from when?
Yeah. No. I don't know if kids think in those dimensions of like entrepreneurship versus employment, right? So. Like I definitely didn't growing up. Oh my goodness, I wanted to do so many things. I wanted to be a vet. So actually I was in school in Swaziland and I did community service. So every Saturday we'd go to this like veterinary clinic and take care of these wonderful puppies with the vets and clean them and medicate them. And at the end of the community service, we had to, the final, like not test, but test was to inject the puppy. And I couldn't do it with a vaccine that I know is helping the puppy. But I just could not like push the needle in the skin. So then I was like, okay, that's not for me. And then at some point I wanted to be a neuroscientist. I realized actually like 2 years into college, I'm like, neuroscience is so fascinating. Like how the brain works is, it still is just so fascinating. But then I realized I had to do so much maths and physics and organic chemistry. And I'd have to do it over my holidays, which like, again, I was like, that's not going to work. This one is embarrassing. I wanted to be on Baywatch.
Like the ones who walk from the beach.
I'm just curious. I'm just curious. What was it that made you think actually, no, this isn't a career path? Because I also wanted, and I was like, the bouncing isn't going to happen.
Now it can. Yeah.
It's like running with, you know, going to save people. Maybe it was like saving people, but also like just the, at some point I did theater when I was in Swaziland and the idea of like acting and being able to go into a persona was very interesting. And I was serious. I got to LA and I met the director and he was like, you have a 0% chance of ever being a Baywatch person.
Point blank.
Why?
Yeah, I mean, my parents were like, thank you, Jesus, for that person. thank you.
My question still stands. Why? Why was there 0% chance?
Pamela Anderson. Is it the Pamela Anderson one?
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Is it because you're not Pamela Anderson?
I guess he said that, you know, when you speak to someone enough, and I think he was right. He's like, your personality is not suited for this life. I mean, the life of,
what do you mean?
Of an actress in Hollywood, you care so much about, you have to, your appearance and how you look and like... It wasn't for me. And yeah, I've had so many things I wanted to do. I never thought in the like the term of like entrepreneur versus non-entrepreneur, but I think out of my MBA program there were so many opportunities to test and taste out what being an entrepreneur looked like. And before going, actually, I had a small taste. We'd started this company called Aziza Kenya that built biogas digesters and for disadvantaged schools so that they could use, they have manure, they have cows, most rural schools, and they could use the manure to produce methane that they could cook on instead of having to spend so much money buying firewood. So we built 10 of those, and I think that was my first taste of like entrepreneurship. And then after going to the MBA program and also having like little tastes here and there, I felt very drawn to it because I felt like it, you could really determine your purpose and make sure your values were aligned with your company values. And so, yeah, when I came back home, I was working for Microsoft and I just had this itch to, build spaces. And yeah, my family is like comes from real estate. My dad's in real estate. Mom's a conservationist and also likes design. And my sister and I think took those bits of our lives growing up with a conservationist and a real estate, which is maybe how we got these like green biophilic spaces. So yeah, I never really thought entrepreneurship, but I'm so happy I'm here. I could never go back. As hard as it is,
it's a beautiful hard because you're charting your own path.
Yeah,
but it's like being on Baywatch. It's not all glamour.
Right? It's not.
Just like
it's not. There's a lot of Excel sheets and Word documents and it's a lot of that. But it's worth it. The pain is worth it.
And you've touched on a couple of things there, your MBA program, your parents being in real estate and conservation and design, which is fascinating because it makes sense, right? But it doesn't necessarily mean that helped you. So what would you say actually helped you to get to where you are, maybe in yourself or your environment or your entourage or something entirely different?
Yeah, I'd say two things. I think unknowingly listening to how you feel. So as an example, when I was at Microsoft, I still love the company. But when I was working there, I knew that it was not, you can just, some things you can feel in your body. Actually, most things, if you tune in, you can feel in your body. And I could just feel that this just wasn't what I was supposed to be doing. And I remember when I, how difficult it was to resign. I'm like leaving this job and I have a salary and, you know, I was traveling a lot. And I remember my boss saying, oh, you're going to do this thing. Have you started it yet? No. What's really the idea? Well, you know, it's this working, people working together thing. Okay. you know, all of those questions. So it was actually a very difficult jump. But listening to that feeling you have, I think, was a big part. And doing that at different points in my life. But actually, to be honest, the biggest thing is just people. My parents, oh my God, I don't even know how to describe them. Like the unrelenting support that they have provided consistently over our lives is, it's like, I don't know where they get it from. Even to this day, they are such big, big supporters of our path. And it doesn't mean they don't challenge us. I do remember telling my dad, we're going to start this thing where people work together. He's like, Nyambura, you know, you've come from America and you think these things can work here, but they cannot. You're like, who wants to work together? Everybody needs their own private space, right? That's how people used to work. So not that they didn't challenge us, but just unrelenting support from my parents. I think the opportunity to start something with a sister and work alongside her, and not that it's always easy, but entrepreneurship is, it's very lonely. It's a lonely journey. So I think having her by my side and for her having me by her side, I think has been very, very important. Of course, I got married recently. My husband somehow has taken on my parents' persona of being this like relentless. I mean, he's like an unpaid Ikigai employee. So has to listen to me talking about what are we going to do about this, and we have to change this, and like this needs to be better. And like I said in the beginning, also learning from my daughter, that's been so fascinating, like taking learnings from a two-year-old and like, yeah, repurposing them here. Yeah, and friends, and you know, I just, people are so important. And then of course the most important people in terms of like, if we're talking about Ikigai, is the team. There's like 55 incredible individuals that rally around a mission, rally around a vision, work so hard, definitely more than the third of their existence currently because we're working long hours. We know we're all tired. But yeah, I think it's really the people who have supported me.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, it makes sense to have a space that is so focused on people and connections when it is clearly so important to you as a person. Yeah.
Like she's actually living what she's selling.
Yeah.
So do you think you were born with the entrepreneurial prowess, or you learned it? And in general, do you think people are born with it?
Yeah. I think in general, I think most skills can be taught. I think people are born with certain predispositions for certain things, right? You might have a really good ear for music, which means you end up being this super talented violinist. So I do think people are born with certain, yeah, predispositions, certain talent. But actually, I believe even those people, even star tennis players, like hard work and practice and resilience, I think is a bigger part than the talent. Because if you're born and you can sing and you don't really practice and work hard and go for singing classes or whatever it is, I think that you're maybe not going to be successful, whatever success means to you, because that's very different things for different people. So, yeah, I generally think people are born with certain predispositions. Practice is how you refine those talents and predispositions. But also, of course, sometimes I think about that with my daughter, which is why I'm going through this, you know, mm-hmm. thought process of not owning her, parents not owning their kids, but we are there to guide them and provide wisdom. But, you know, what are all the talents she might have that I might not hear, or listen to, or say, oh, you know, you shouldn't do that so you don't make the mistakes that I made. So yeah. I'm hoping that even with her, that I'm really able to hone in my listening skills to like hear and like see what is actually uniquely hers and what are her unique gifts are. And so I can support her with that, because you can miss
a lot.
Yeah. You can miss your things, right? If you're told you need to be a doctor or a pilot and that's all you can do and that's what success looks like, and you might not realize that your kid is like such a good footballer or a really good painter or something like that.
Or you might even mistake what they're doing for something else.
Yeah, like when your kid wants to play with fire, maybe they'll be a champion flamethrower. So we let them I'm joking. And I think also it's about just giving that your child the opportunity, right? Mm-hmm. Or giving the person, even as an adult, the opportunity, right? If you just to try it out, mm-hmm. right? You mentioned your, like we said, your MBA, your parents being supportive. Imagine if your parents had said, no, you're not allowed to. Mm-hmm. You're not allowed mm-hmm. to do it. Maybe you'd have tried and wouldn't have worked. That's okay. But at least you get to try and explore, right?
Yeah.
I said flame throwing. So before we move on, any final words of wisdom to anyone watching or listening out there that you'd want to pass on to help them find their ikigai, maybe?
I think focusing on your purpose and growth over perfection, I think that's a really big one. It's really, especially if you're a perfectionist, or even if you're not, people often want the end goal, the successes, the big things, but actually there's just so much joy in the journey, there's so much joy in the process, and a big part of the process is failing, falling, learning from those mistakes. You know, we at Ikigai, we talk a lot about Kaizen as well, which is like continuous improvement, because some of those mistakes that you make along the way are the most important mistakes to make, and the ones that result in something very innovative happening, either for yourself or in your business. So I'd say focusing on growth aligned to purpose rather than perfection. And then, because we all want to live long, focus on your relationships. It's really, really important, in conjunction, of course, with your well-being, taking time for yourself. I think those things are also really, really important. So that would be my advice.
Nice. Would you have it different for female entrepreneurs now, specifically? Mm. Is there an extra tidbit for them?
No, maybe I'd say the same thing. And I think that often people overlook the purpose and value bit. You don't realize that actually value alignment in your work is so important to it's so important to align it to your personal values. And sometimes as women, you know, the way the world is structured, or the incentives or the reward systems don't actually reward people aligning values. Mm. You know, going into a meeting and talking about value alignment, like, let's talk about profit, right? Where's the revenue coming from? But yeah, I think like really honing into the predispositions that we have as women that make us really incredible and powerful is something also not to shy away from. So similar advice. Yeah, not to shy away from it.
Nice. I mean, that is the Yes Girl spirit, right? Progress over perfection, trying, learning from mistakes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We can get totally on board with that.
Definitely. We're saying yes to that.
Yeah. Thank you, Nyambura.
Thank you.
That's it for this Yesticle. But don't worry, there are plenty of full episodes out there that you can catch up on other Yesticles where we say yes to doing, being, or learning something new, or speaking to amazing guest experts such as Nyambura. So why don't you scroll down on your podcast feed or go to YouTube and see what one you want to say yes to and start diving into.
And please do take time to rate and review us wherever you're listening. It helps other people become yes people, and you can be a trendsetter. And another thing, please share this episode or podcast with someone who would love it, an entrepreneur or someone who wants some inspiration.
As always, reach out to us on social media if you have an idea for an episode or a guest, or you want to come onto the podcast yourself, or you can get involved through sponsorship. Our inbox is always open.
You'll find us everywhere. Of course, everywhere. Share, like, find us everywhere at Yes Girls Podcast, and find Ikigai at Ikigai Nairobi. And Nyambura on LinkedIn as Nyambura Gichohi, right?
Yes. So that's Gichohi. Yeah. And Ikigai is at 5 locations, as we mentioned, the fictional 6th location. we will be the ones designing the space, of you course, right? Watch out for that. But the 5 existing locations in Nairobi are Brookside, Lavington, Riverside, Lower Kabete, and Westlands. So you can also check out the website at Ikigai, that's ikigai.co.ke. Thank you so much, Nyambura, co-founder and CEO of Ikigai, for literally inviting us into your space, your work home, we can call it. So if you're watching this on video, you can actually see we are right in the heart of the newest Ikigai space at Brookside. It's in the piano building, and it is truly breathtaking. Or breath giving with all the plants. It really feels like they've brought the outside in. I kind of feel like we're working in a cozy meadow, but where we still have Wi-Fi connection.
Yeah, right. I don't know why you want outdoor. This feels outdoor.
It does feel very outdoor, yeah. But beautiful design. And everyone's, Nyambura mentioned the lovely team. They are amazing. Thank you to Stephanie who welcomed us. And the best way I can describe it is big as well. It's a 20,000 square feet of work, meeting, and event space. And it's also the first commercial location with beautiful, spacious communal balconies that we mentioned can also be used for work meetings, even if you're not a member. Mm. So we could have a Yes Girls event here.
Yes.
Watch this space.
Our next event.
And it's even fully equipped with showers and an on-site commercial kitchen. So check it out.
And one last question for you, Nyambura, that we ask all our guests. What is something you've recently said yes to?
Really reading news again.
Are we talking physical newspapers or online?
Online.
Okay.
I have moments where I don't as much because it's really can be difficult, but actually it's a difficult time that you shouldn't have the luxury to look away, right? Like looking away at difficult news is something that I'm working on not doing. So I mean, yesterday I watched the news and oh my God, it was 6 kids dying on the roadside and this and this. And so sometimes I have to take breaks, but it's something I'm saying yes to again, watching the news as hard as it is. And of course, trying to play my part in, serving people and humanity and all that.
Okay. We like that. We've never had that answer.
Yeah. That's a very different answer.
A very good one. Yeah. And choosing your news sources correctly, of course, as Bright would have told us on our digital literacy episode. Make sure you get from credible sources. Okay. All right, we'll be back with another mini episode, also known as a Yesticle, very soon. But in the meantime, I'm Claire.
I'm Akumu.
I'm Nyambura.
And we are...
we are...
The Yes Girls!
And Ikigai.
In Ikigai.
In Ikigai. With our Ikigai.
Yes. Guy.
Guy.